Take your Bibles and look at Psalm 1. We're looking at favorite chapters in the Bible, and a lot of material to cover this morning, and I never wonder what I'm going to teach. My question is always, what am I not going to teach? There's a lot of things. And look at Psalms chapter 1. This is called one of the famous chapters in the Bible. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 8. The week before that we looked at Luke chapter 15, dealing with the lost coin and the lost sheep and the prodigal son. The week before that we looked at a famous chapter in the Bible, a favorite chapter of Christians, which was Revelation 21, dealing with heaven and things like that. So now we come to Psalm 1, and this is a major strengthening here for Christians, and something that you can get a lot out of. But here we go. Ready? Look at verse 1. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, if he does those five things, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And look at verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you keep your finger right there in Psalm 1, I want you to go to Psalm 75. I want to just kind of springboard off something here, and then we're going to come right back to Psalm 1. But you need to understand something, first of all, in the Bible. We live in a humanistic day. Watch this. They took the Bible out of the schools. You're definitely not going to be taught the Bible on TV. So unless you come to church, or it is done on purpose in your home, your kids don't get the Bible, and you don't get Bible principles and teaching from the Bible. Right? This is a different age we're living in. Used to be you'd get the Bible at school. Used to be you could, the further you go back in America's history, the more the Bible was involved in everyday things, terminology, okay? You look at the Constitution. Those men read the Bible. You look at the Declaration of Independence. They used Bible phrases in that stuff. They read the Bible. People don't do that anymore, okay? So we're living in different times, but watch this. If I go to correct something this morning, if there was something I was going to say that probably is going to make you mad, it will be this morning, but I'm not mad at anybody, okay? But this is they speak of in the business world now, what you need is a paradigm shift. And a paradigm shift is a turnaround in the way you see things and see the world, okay? And they talk about, you need a, if you're seeing things this way, you need to refocus. Probably what I'm going to give you this morning is a refocusing, a reset button, a watershed where everything runs to one place. Look at Psalm 75 and look at verse 6. Ready? It says here, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. In the business world, they say, dog eat dog. You better get on top. The end justifies the means. As long as you get to the top, it doesn't matter who you got to step on to get there. Just achieve. I got a scheme, plan, work someone into my schedule, got to do this. And yet, God is the one, the Bible says, the Christian way of thinking is, no, I'm not going to step on somebody or hurt somebody to get to the top. My promotion or how God moves me in my business is from God. But that's not the world's way of thinking. A Christian's way of thinking is supposed to be my promotion. If God gives me a raise, or if God moves me up, or if God prospers me, it is God that did it. It isn't due to my scheming. Now, keep in mind, I think there's some wisdom that God can give. There's some wisdom that as you read the Word of God, God will give you business wisdom. But you don't have to go against the Bible to get success. Or if you do, it's not success God's way. Watch this. Go to Joshua 1:8. go to Joshua 1:8. Joshua chapter 1 is a famous chapter in the Bible. We may end up covering it in a Bible study later on, but watch this. If you've never seen these verses in the Bible before, could I encourage you to write them down and look them up later? Could I encourage you to circle them or highlight them and italicize them and underline them and look at them later? But watch this. Verse 7, and we're going to stop at verse 9, okay? Joshua, that's the sixth book of the Bible, okay? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. And Moses has died. God is giving Joshua a commendation here and making him the leader. And he's trying to encourage him, go ahead and lead. And go ahead and do what I want you to do. Look at verse 7. Only, this is God talking to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Neat word in the Bible, and you're going to see it again here in another verse, but watch this. Whithersoever thou goest. Have you ever heard the statement, man, whatever that guy touches turns to gold? Why does God prosper him so much?
I do it, and it turns to something else that they end up putting in the dumpster.
But everything he touches turns to gold. What is, let's look at what God's recipe for prosperity or success is. Verse 8, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after you've done that, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Wow, there's that word again. And then thou shalt have good success. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid of afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, we've been taught in a humanistic society that if you make a lot of money, that you are a success. That's not true. Set not thy heart upon riches, for they make wings and fly away. There's a lot of Bible verses on that. Okay? We've been taught in our society that success is position. I am higher than you, therefore I am better than you. I have attained. That is not true either. Success is not money. Success is not position. Success is not fame or popularity. Jesus said, if I turn there real quick, don't you turn there, but in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, God said, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. What is your mental picture of success? That when you reach this, you have arrived. If you are not careful, the world will teach you what is a success, but what is a success in God's eyes? Watch this. You'll fail in God's eyes. You made it, and JB, the boss, you know, he said do this. You made it in JB's eyes, but you failed in God's eyes. You failed. What is a success? Watch this. We've been taught that the world teaches us that success is the accumulation of things. My car is nicer than your car. I have a bigger house than you have. We have three vehicles. We have a boat. You don't have a boat. Do you have an in-ground pool? No, we don't have an in-ground. Therefore, so people measure success by all the outward stuff. Are my clothes nicer than your clothes and all that other garbage? That is not a measure of success. God says here, success comes from what you do with the Word of God. What is true success? Would you take your Bible now and go to 1 John 2:15? Ready? 1 John 2:15, and watch this. 1 John chapter 2. It's back there close to Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And God plainly says, success does not come... Look, if money and things and toys and fame and position are all a measure of success... Then somebody tell the Apostle Paul that. Every person in here has more things than Jesus had when he was here on the earth. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. He said, but the Son of Man, he said, I don't even own my own house. Would you call Jesus a success?
Sure you would. But most of us don't think of it that way. That's different. It says when they took his garments, when they crucified him, those were the only thing he owned. Would you call him a success? Aren't we all, isn't that the object of the Christian life? We're trying to be like Jesus. Everybody in here has more than Jesus had when he was here on the earth. Okay? Well, watch this. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, and here he describes it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. And then watch this, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We live in a very materialistic society. Ever since World War II, at the end of World War II, they took those factories that were making the tanks and the guns and all that, and they turned those into what? Textiles. So nowadays, if you got enough money, you can buy it at Walmart. We no longer make our own chairs, okay? We don't. And it's getting where it's cheaper to buy a clothing on sale than it is to make it with a sewing machine. I'm for ladies learning how to sew, and I think you ought to know how to do that, but it's getting to the point where it's cheaper to go buy it than it is actually make it yourself. We live in a strange day. I'm not going to say it's a bad day. I'm just saying if you're not careful, you're going to end up with a bumper sticker on your car that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. I wish I had a bumper sticker. I'd put an abbreviation on it. He who dies with the most toys, you may think he won, but he still died. And you know how much he took of it with him? Nothing. He didn't take any of it with him. Isn't that what the Ecclesiastes said? Isn't that strange? We all work, we live, we eat, sleep. We work, eat, sleep. Or work, eat, sleep. He said, and then we die so another man can have it. Kind of a morbid way of looking at life, but as far as those who are trying to acquire things, the house that we've always dreamed of. Houses are highly overrated. That went over really good. Houses are highly overrated. You gotta have a place where you raise your kids, where you're not so in debt that mom and dad both don't have to work or they're going bankrupt. And then when your kids are gone at age 18, if you both want to go to work, well then, do that. And I'm not saying it's bad for the husband. I'm saying when they choose a lifestyle that demands so much from mom and dad, because everybody else has it, we've got to have this, and they force themselves, and she doesn't really want to work, but she's going to, and so it ends up, then look at the kids, they're in a daycare all day long, and the most vital person in a kid's life is mama. Either that, or they choose a lifestyle because of what everybody else has. Now daddy's got to always work, and he is never home. And women rear girls. Men raise boys. And one of the homosexual producers in America is single moms. Do you know why? Because a mom goes, oh, he fell. Dad says, get up. Dad makes men out of boys. Moms don't. So they get in a lifestyle, and that's the day and age we live in. Do you understand that? It's no longer of, well, what subdivision do you live in? Rather than, why don't you praise God your roof doesn't leak, okay? It's more of a status symbol, and houses are so overrated to the extent a couple will get what they cannot rightfully afford, and unknowingly, and I think in the end they finally realize that we've sacrificed our kids. The kids get older, they move out of the house, they go to college or whatever, and then the husband and wife look at each other and they go, who are you? Did I marry you 18 years ago? Or do you see that? I think it's sad. Well, we watched housing developments go up in Tennessee all over the place. I said, how much is that house? $175,000. Wow! That's out of my league. Honestly, and I wasn't ashamed to say it either. We figured out what we could afford, and then we told the realtor. And realtors always try to bump you up. That, okay, well, what's your limit? Well, when you're done, they took you, 10 grand, 15 grand over your limit. You just learn that. Okay? They don't care about your kids. They don't care about your marriage. They are in it for the bucks. That's the day and age we live in. Let me give you a statement. It says here, he that doeth the will of God abideth, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you are in the will of God, you are a success. That is not based on your money. That is not based on your position or your clothing. If you are in the will of God, then you are a success. Watch this. If you are out of the will of God, I don't care how much money you make, you're a failure. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what your house looks like. I don't care. Are you doing what God wants you to? Look at what the will of God is. The will of God is five things. I could do it on my hand, but the will of God is church. I don't have to pray about that. I know that. God says that. It's the Word of God. It's prayer. It's tithing. If you need a Bible study on that, I'll gladly give it to you, and I won't be frustrated about it either. Okay? I'll gladly show you where that is in the Scripture. I don't have to pray about that. I tithe. If I miss Sunday because of snow, I tithe. I would not think about keeping 10%. I got to have help with my children. I need God's help. My marriage needs God's blessing. I would not think. I don't care how short everybody else is. I would not think of keeping 10% back from the gross. That's one thing this boy does not play with. Ever. Never. It's never even a consideration. Okay? What are they saying?
We don't even go there.
Okay? How would they say it now? We're not
even going to go there.
Okay? Tithing, would you like to know what the last thing is? Soul winning. That is the will of God for your life. Did you know there are missionaries overseas that are out of God's will? I don't think you got to sell your house to do the will of God. Do the will of God here. Did you know that there are pastors that don't do this? They may do three of the two or three of the five or two of the five or maybe four of the five, but they don't do all of them. Did you know there are pastors who are out of the will of God? They don't do this. I don't think you have to be a pastor in full-time service. I just think you better, as a Christian, do the will of God, not do what the world is telling you is success. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 1 and let's look at God's recipe for success. You ready? Look, if I do what God asks me to do, then God can bless me. Preacher preached a message called, Are You Blessable? Can God give you what God wants you to have? Or is your lifestyle keeping things from you that God wants you to have? Watch this. Did you know there are some better soul winners than others? Did you know we had people in our class? I thought it was awesome. They invited people to church, but they didn't lead anybody to the Lord. Did you know I think that's all kind of a... Did you know there's steps in it? Did you know there'd be some people that they can't tell somebody about the Lord, but they can invite somebody to church? And then when they come to church, they get saved. Well, the person that invited them had a part in that. I don't think you got to be, you know. There are levels of this. This is what you ought to be faithful to. Did you know there are people in here that read their Bible a little more than others? It doesn't say how much, but you need to read your Bible. Did you know there are people in this room, you pray a little more than others? It doesn't say how much, but you need to be praying. You need God like I do. Okay? That's the will of God. Are y'all hot? I am smoking, and that is against church policy. Okay? Here, watch this. See, guys do it that way. A woman would have won. I don't like it there. Okay. All right, now, look at Psalm chapter 1, okay? Look at Psalm chapter 1. Honey, can you paint the chair? It doesn't go with the door, okay? Honey, it's wood-colored. What do you mean it doesn't go with the door? Look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You come across one word in this chapter over and over again, and I long for you to understand it. Are you ready? I'm going to put down... If you broke it down in your mind, you'd come to the same conclusion, or you can look it up in a dictionary. Ungodly
God did not say the counsel of the wicked. He said ungodly. If you undo something, then you are without it. If you are ungodly, you may not necessarily be wicked. It does not say the evil, the counsel of the evil. Evil is people who are out to hurt other people. It says ungodly. And it says, for me to be blessed, I need to be very careful who I get my counsel from. I fear that your counsel could come from people that are yes or no, sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, tax-paying, well-dressed citizens that God doesn't have anything to do with. They're not bad people. They didn't murder anybody in their backyard, and they're not scoping anybody out to murder them, and they're not making moonshine in their backyard or selling drugs to kids. But God doesn't have anything to do with their life. Did they go to church? Does God fit into their life anywhere? That is an ungodly person. That is, you look it up. You tell me what you come up with. God said the first step is I need to be careful who I get my advice from. Is God a part of their life? I'm just simply defining a word, and then I'm using the word counsel. Be real careful who you let give you advice. You ought to have a cabinet of counselors. There will be one, somebody, and if you don't have one, then let me recommend one to you, your pastor. Someone you see about your marriage. You ought to have a counselor about your automobile, if you're not an auto mechanic. You ought to have some Christian that is a success, you know, that doesn't drive a hoopty. Okay, you need somebody at least knows a little bit about what they're doing with cars to get a little piece of advice, so when you get ready to go buy one, you can say, I don't know a lot about this. Is this a good one? Or am I about to get shanghaied? I've been shanghaied. Stuck. Tricked. stepped on. Okay? Before. Hey, how come that hose leaks? Oh, well, if you'll just replace that hose, it'll fix the leak. I replaced the hose, and then I had antifreeze coming through, the whole front of the car. My wife and I are going down the car. Wrote, I fixed it, sweetie. I don't know what's wrong with it. You know, it ended up being, you replaced the hose, ding-dong. Guess where the antifreeze is going in the car, okay? I said that to say you need a counselor in different areas of your life, your marriage, your automobile. How about your finances? Really important. You need a counselor in that area. Maybe it's the pastor that you... Our pastor knows a lot. And he prays for you. And he doesn't charge you like a Christian counselor does, $150 an hour. It's free. You just say, preacher, can I make an appointment with you? I have some questions I need to ask you. Your life doesn't have to be falling apart to go see the pastor. If your life is falling apart, that's a good person to go to. But it doesn't have to be for you to ask his advice. Let's look at the next thing. Watch this. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You need to watch the crowd that you hang around. You need to watch the crowd that you hang around. a saved person that is on their way to heaven cannot properly talk to a lost person unless the lost person gets saved. The only thing you can do to have conversation is lower yourself. Does that make sense? That ought to. I'm talking who you choose to spend a lot of time with. Did you know if you spend a lot of time with somebody that cusses a lot, did you know you're eventually going to reason out and justify cussing in your home? You say, well, I'm trying to help them. If this wall was dirty, and I lean on this wall, I'm going to get a lot dirtier than the wall is clean. Right? Same thing that happens with Christians. Well, I'm going to help them. You'll probably help them a little, but not near as much as they made you dirty. Okay? That's why it's very dangerous for a married couple to be, and you've heard it from the pulpit, very dangerous for a married couple to be hanging around all the time a single person. Their lifestyle is different. They're still shopping. You can't deal with that mentality all the time. No, you got married. Till death do you part. The shopping's over. Okay? Glory to God. That's a good thing. That's not bad. But you ain't in the market anymore. Okay, and that's good. But if you're always dealing with that mentality, then your mind wanders with that. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. I'm not going to hang around, okay? Standeth in the way of sinners, then finally, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. They went from walking to standing in the way of sinners to finally sitting in the seat of the scornful. Did you ever notice critics are the ones who don't do anything?
I wouldn't do it that way.
Well, how would you do it? Why don't you take 2 hours and go down to the church and figure out what's wrong with the PA? Okay? There'll be critics this morning. They won't help with the PA a bit.
Well, why don't they just do this?
Welcome. That's right. It's a beast. Okay? The PA's a beast, all right? It's possessed. Who knows? But as far as, did you ever notice the critics are the ones that will gladly offer their opinion, but they won't do anything to help? What are they doing? They're sitting in the seat. They're on their kachuski, their blessed assurance, not doing anything. But boy, opinions are easy to give, but they won't put any foot power behind what they, hey, could I help you do? Well, yeah, nobody takes that as criticism. But the critic always, well, I'd do it better than that, or sitting in the seat of the scornful, then watch this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Watch this, if you delight something, best thing I can talk to you, the word delight means delight. What do you enjoy? Do you enjoy the Word of God? Is this your delight? Watch this. I wrote this down, and just listen to this. It's not how people treat me or what I can get out of them. It is how they respond to God's Word that determines my relationship with them. It is not what I can get out of people, and it is not how they treat me. It is how, what do you think of God's Word, and how do you respond to what God tells you that determines how close I can get to somebody. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and then watch this, in his law doth he meditate day and night. The word meditate, it comes from a word where a cow, you know, has four stomachs, and a cow will eat and eat and eat and graze, and you think it's getting its food, and it's not. It's storing up food to go get nourishment here in a little bit. It's going to fill up its stomachs. Now, don't get gross, okay? Just watch. It really is where it comes from, okay? To muse or to chew on, okay? The cow then takes its full stomachs, it goes, sits under a tree, it coughs some grass up, and then it chews on that grass, and then the nutrients from the grass goes down in it. And that's where its body gets its nutrients from. What's it doing? It's musing or it's meditating. I spend time in the Bible in the morning reading my Bible. Later on, when it's shut and I'm away from it, I think about what I read, and it is at that point that I get my nutrients for my Christian life. I've talked to teenagers, stone-faced. You going to get out of church? Yeah. You going to flush God down the toilet? Yes. Did you read your Bible today? Yes. But they didn't meditate on it. They didn't let the nutrients of the Word of God. You have to think about what you read in the Bible. You'll find a little bit in the Bible about reading your Bible, because you ought to. You'll find, take one time, one word, look it up, meditate. And look it up in the Bible. You are told to think on the Word of God. Those five things, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, not standing in the seat of the in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful, but delighting in the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, is what God says will bring you success. Success in the Word of in the Christian life. The world says, get to the top any way you can. Whoever you got to kill, whoever you got to step on, whoever you got to knock them out of the way. It's dog eat dog out there. Jesus said, I'm not supposed to live that way. God is the one who prospers me or promotes me. And he does that as I respond to his word. That is the Christian way. Don't let the world train you how you're supposed to live. Let God's word train you what a success is. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for every person that's in here. I wish this to be a help. Lord, we need success and prosperity with our children. We need success and prosperity with our marriage. But if we're always getting the counsel and the advice from the world, theirs aren't working. Their kids are filling the prisons. They're busting up in marriages and divorce after divorce. God, their recipe isn't working. Help us not to turn to them for the answers, but Holy Spirit of God, please, I pray that you'd bless the couples in this room this morning. Help them as they read your word, draw them close together, please. And help us to respond right to your word. Help us to meditate in it. Lord, bless our preacher now and the service to follow. Thank you for every person here. Thank you for our class. In Jesus' name, amen.